You may be seated if you would, turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, send up praise. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Praise is a powerful weapon. But prayer coupled with praise is an unbeatable combination. So send up praise and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. The Bible says we are to reign in life as kings and priests unto God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, one translation says, we are to master all of life. God is a speaking being. He created us to be speaking beings. I want you to look at the text. David, if you would put Romans 5:17 up there on the screen. I want you to see this because God put this in my heart. And I'm doing a series, Seven Keys to Reigning in Life as kings. And this is the key right here, the verse I'm using, Romans 5:17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, he's talking about Adam and the fall, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So that tells me that we are to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are to reign in life as kings and priests. In Revelation chapter 1, it says God has made us kings and priests unto God. And we are kings, we're children of the King of Kings, and we are to reign and to rule in this life. In this sermon tonight, I'm going to give you four things that the devil wants to do to you. You're a king, but the devil wants, number one, to dethrone you. Secondly, he wants to disarm you. Thirdly, he wants to disable you. And fourthly, he wants to debase you. He wants you to feed you his crumbs while you are to reign in life. Come down to God's banquet table. Get everything that's on the banquet table. It belongs to you. So you've got to send up some praise if you want what God has purposed for your life, which brings me to my text, Judges 1, beginning in verse 1. Look at it. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight them? And the Lord said, send Judah. Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hands. Now, Judah means praise. So he said, send up praise. And Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot so that we may fight the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. Verse 4, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands. And they slew them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek. And they fought against him and slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumb and his great toe. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings. In other words, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so has God requited me. In other words, God has paid me back for what I did to those 70 kings. Whatever you sow, you reap. Remember that. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. My subject tonight, send up praise. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the anointed singing. Thank you that you've already seated us together in heavenly places tonight in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that the words that I speak, they will go forth with Holy Ghost anointing. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Let me preach, Lord, with Holy Ghost power and boldness. Give us a listening ear. Show us who we are in Christ. And show us how to win the victories of life. Give us revelation knowledge through the word. Give us that listening ear. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Joshua, the great leader of Israel, he was dead. Moses had led Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and Joshua had led them into the promised land. But now Moses and Joshua, they're dead, and Israel is facing a great challenge. The Canaanites are coming against them in battle. And the people are afraid. They used to have Moses. They used to have Joshua. But now they have no leader that God has raised up. And so the people inquire of the Lord and said, what shall we do about this situation? How shall we win this battle? For we have no leader. How shall we win this battle when our resources have been depleted? How shall we face this great army? And the answer comes back from God, Judah shall go up first. Hallelujah. Now, the word Judah in the Hebrew, it means praise. So God said, send up praise. Now, when you can't get to the pastor, when you can't get to the evangelist, when you can't get to some other spiritual leader, then God says, what you must do is you must stand still. You must send Judah up first. You must send praise into the battle. If praise goes up, then you will win the victory. You must learn to praise God, because there will come times in your Christian life when you cannot lean upon somebody else. No one will be there to fight for you. And you must learn to send up praise and to wage war against the enemy and praise your problems away. I'm telling you, there is power in praise. And God wants us to praise him. The writer of Hebrews says, by him, by Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. We're to praise him when we're on the mountaintop. We're to praise him when everything is sailing smoothly. But then when we're down in the valley, then you're to praise him. I told somebody a long time ago, I don't know what a valley is. Ever since I got saved, it's all been up to me. And I told the devil one day, I was in a slump. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, I might be down, but I'm higher than I've ever been. And I said, you can't get from one mountaintop to the other mountaintop unless you go down one side, go through the valley, and walk up the other side. Let me tell you something, devil. I'm not in a valley. I'm just changing mountains, and I'm going to praise my way out of it. Somebody, go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. If praise goes up, you will win the victory. God told Israel, said, I want you to send Judah up first. So Judah prays. He stopped by, and before he got to the battlefield, and he picked his brother Simeon up. And he said, Simeon, I'm not going to praise the Lord by myself. Because if I can put 1,000 to flight, the two of us, we can put 10,000 to flight. Did you know that God never meant for you to fight your battles alone? Did you know that? Did you know that the devil wants to isolate you? Because if he can isolate you, he can depress you. And if he can depress you, he can defeat you. He can bring you down. But there is strength in unity, and there is power in praise. And so you need to be with the body of Christ, and you need to get to a place where the power of God is flowing like a river. If I can get my little pint, and if I can get your little pint, and we can all get them to flowing together, pretty soon we've got the river of God. And everywhere the river of God goes, there's power, there's anointing, there's life, there's deliverance, there's healing, there's miracles. Let the river flow. Send up some praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. See, there is strength in unity. And if you can hook up with God's people and bring praise into the battle, you can praise your way to victory. Now, prayer is a powerful weapon, but praise is another weapon. And when you put them together, you have a winning combination. Judah told Simeon, if you will help me fight the devils that I'm facing, then I'll help you fight your devils. We will form a praise team. That's what we've been doing tonight. I wanted a lot of singing tonight. I wanted a lot of praise. I wanted to see the body of Christ come together as one. Amen. And he said, we'll form a praise team and defeat the enemy every time he comes against us. You're winning victories right now by just being in this atmosphere, whether you realize it or not. So Judah and Simeon, they took their tribes and they went out praising God, and the Lord delivered the enemy into their hands, and they slew 10,000 men. Now, the leader who orchestrated this battle against Israel, his name was called Adonai Bezek. Adonai Bezek, he was awesome in battle. Now, in the Hebrew, Adonai means Lord, and the name Bezek, it means lightning. So he was the Lord of the lightning. I want you to keep that in mind. Adonai Bezek, the Lord of the lightning. In other words, he was able to make strikes with lightning fast attacks, and he was able to defeat his enemy. But this time, Adonai Bezek, he got defeated. And when he took off running, they caught him and they cut off his thumb and they cut off his great toe. Now, if you don't have a great toe, you don't have any balance. I cut my toe when I was a little boy in a lawnmower. It was hanging on by the meat. And here's the attention, the medical help I got. I was up at my Aunt Mae's house and my mother was there and some of the ladies in the church. They poured kerosene oil over my toe to I guess that was an antiseptic. They put sugar, packed it in sugar. I got good balance. Hallelujah. And I still got that too. I can dance. I can shout. I got good balance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if I didn't have a toe, I couldn't do that. Well, God knew I was going to be a praiser one day. God knew I was going to need that great big toe to praise him. So I got that toe. I took my shoes off not too long ago, and I said, I wonder which toe it was. And I can't even find a scar. Now, I cut my chin. I got a scar. I cut my chest wide open. I got a nice scar there. I got some battle scars on me. I'm a combat veteran. I want to tell you, I got one on the cross, my head here. I got one on my leg. But God saved that toe, and I don't even have a scar where that toe was cut off. I mean, it was hanging on by the meat. If you don't have a toe, guess what? You don't have any balance. But this King Adonai Bezek, he had defeated people, and every time he would defeat them, he would cut their thumbs off and cut their great toes off. He had conquered 70 kingdoms. He had taken all their territories, and he had put that king in prison. Before he put them in prison, he would cut off their thumbs so they could never hold a sword again. And he would cut off that big toe so they would have no sense of balance and they could never run again. Then he would put them in his prison, which was underneath his dining room table. He would chain them to the wall. And during the banquets and the celebrations, he would throw crumbs to his conquered enemy. That was his way of saying to them, you are completely defeated. So stay down there underneath my feet, and I'll feed you a few crumbs every now and then. Now, you and I, church, we have an enemy much like Adonai Bezek. When Satan was cast out of heaven, Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. I want you to know you have an enemy. He is called a devil, and I've been preaching on these lines since the first of the year. And he wants to do to you exactly what Adonai Bezek did to the 70 kings that he captured. There are four things that Adonai Bezek did to those kings. I'm going to go through them one by one. First of all, he dethroned the king. He dethroned the king. Every time he would defeat one of those enemies, he dethroned them. So he dethroned the king. Now, a king has dominion, and a king rules over a certain region. And for Adonai Bezek to rule over that kingdom that he had defeated, he had to dethrone the king. Now, Satan wants to dethrone you. If you're in Christ, then you are a king and you are a priest unto God. And God wants you to reign in life through one Jesus Christ as a king. He is a king. The Bible says if you the heir, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. If you are immature in your Christian walk, if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not full of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the sword of the Spirit in your heart so you can put it in your mouth, glory to God, then you will never walk in the victories that God has purposed for your life. My assignment is to preach what God has given to me and raise up an army. out here at Westmoreland. Praise God. If you're watching by live stream or Facebook Live, we do a whole lot more happens in this church than you see on that. We have a great miracle testimony this morning of what God had done. We have them all the time. And God is on the move, and God wants a people that will move with him. But whether you realize it or not, you are a king, and a king sits on a throne. Satan wants you to forget your high and elevated position that you have in Christ. So I want to remind you tonight of that position. Some people forget that they're a king. And Christ, he's the King of Kings, but you are a king in him. So years ago, I wanted to know my position. I saw if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Then I got a revelation of Paul talking about the revelation that had been hidden for ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said in John 17, I pray that they may be one as we are one. I in thou, Father, and thou in me, that they may be one in us. And the glory that thou hast given me, I give to them, that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot more to this thing than just getting saved and going to heaven. While you are here on this planet, God wants you to rule and master all of life and to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Go on and praise him for who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. But let me just remind you of who you are. Listen to these. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ, who God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which established you in Christ and had anointed us is God. You have an anointing from the Holy Ghost. Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Glory to God. Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Woo! It was precious blood. It was holy blood. It was the blood of God. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man, poured out his blood. The devil is a spirit. The devil doesn't have any blood. So whip out the blood. Keep the devil in the spirit realm, and you can defeat him every time. He's a spirit. He feels the blood. And God's blood was paid for our redemption. Listen to this, Philippians 3:13, 14. I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that. You've got to get a revelation of what God has done for you and what he wants to do in you. See, in our position of Christ, no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm going to open my little phone because I preached some revelation into my heart this morning. I got a text from somebody, and we got this little app, and if you don't have it, I send it about everybody on my list, but if you want it, it's pray.com. I will get it to you. And all you do is go out if you got a smartphone and sign into it. But I was praying for Lisa in North Carolina. This is Teresa's family. She had a baby and has gone home. But her husband, Matt, had to rush her to Greenville with severe headaches, extreme high blood pressure, and swelling. Tanner, the little baby, although he is premature, is stable. And then I put, thanks for agreeing with us in prayer. And then I put this. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And when I wrote that, I penned these words. And God does that when we pray. If you don't pray, if you don't ask God, if you don't confess who you are, if you don't believe in his word in your heart and confess it with your mouth, don't expect a whole lot to ever change in your life. Put Romans 8:10-8 up there, please. Romans 10:8. The word is nigh thee. Where must the word be? even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. I'm preaching faith right now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you'll get the scriptures out and begin to meditate on those exceeding great and precious promises, if you'll get the book of the law out, and like Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Are you having to struggle through life now? Get the word of God. Start confessing that word that you believe in your heart with your mouth. And I tell you what, you got to use your jaw. I told it this morning, one man went out and he took a jawbone of an ass and he slew 600 people. A jawbone. And when I saw that, I said, my God, you got a jawbone. You got to open your mouth and you got to say something. Woo! Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, before Satan can steal your joy and take your marriage and ruin your business and afflict your body with sickness and disease, he must dethrone you. He's tried to dethrone me many times. I'll tell you something. I walked for 10 solid years trying to get my health back. And I quoted scripture after scripture after scripture on healing. I just kept writing. I told the devil one day, I said, I know you're tired of hearing them. I'm tired of hearing them. I said, but I'm going to wear you out with the word of God. I am who God said I am. I can do what God said I can do. I have what God said I have. And I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth. And you can't stop me. I'll never stop until God says stop. That's just the way it is. And God gave me a great promise. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And then he come back on top of that and said, with long life will I satisfy thee and show you my salvation. I don't even know what long life is. I just know I'm here for the duration till God calls me home. Get some promises from God. Start believing them in your heart. Start confessing them with your mouth and your whole world will change. Go on and praise God. There's power in his word. You don't belong in the prison house with the devil eating his crumbs that fall from his table. Amen. You are in a battle, but there is victory in Jesus Christ. You're in a battle. I mean, every time you win a battle, it looks like the devil just comes back. But that's all right. I told him. I said, when Jesus was in the wilderness, you left him for a season, but you kept coming back. But Jesus kept defeating you. And Jesus gave me his name. He gave me his blood. He gave me his word. He gave me his power. He gave me his anointing. And whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Because I have authority to use the name of Jesus. Church, you have it. Start using it. Start proclaiming it. And saying what God says about your situation. And stop saying what the world says. And all of a sudden you'll rise up in great victory. You are who God said you are. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. You are king, and you belong in an elevated position on a throne, and you're to rule and reign in life by Jesus Christ. That's your position in Jesus. The second thing that Adonai Bezek did to these defeated kings was he disarmed them. He cut off their thumbs to the wrist. Now, a thumbless man, he cannot hold a sword. A thumbless man, he cannot shoot a bow and arrow. A thumbless man cannot throw a spear. A thumbless man is completely disarmed. When I was in Vietnam, I'm an expert rifleman. I am. Not an expert with the pistol. Wasn't trained too much in that. But I am an expert when it comes to a rifle. I can take a man's head off at 500 meters if I have the proper windage, sight alignment, elevation. Am I telling the truth, Travis? He's a Marine. He knows what I'm talking about. We were trained. But if I had no thumb, I couldn't hold that weapon. I couldn't even hold a stock and get a correct spot weld. What spot weld exactly? Uniform position on the shooter's cheek, sometimes using the thumb as a reference point. They drilled that into me. I said, praise God, if I can learn that stuff, I can learn scripture. So I drill scripture into me. I meditate on it. I'm going to find my position in Christ. And I say, God, if I'm going to preach your word, I'm going to take something to the people. We're going to raise up an army in this community. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a triumphant church. God's got people all over this church, this city. But they need to know who they are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So the second thing the devil wants to do to you is disarm you. If you allow Satan to dethrone you, the next thing he will do is he will disarm you. He wants you to lose your grip on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, the word is spirit. The word is life. The wise man Solomon said, the word is health to all your flesh. Hallelujah. Now, the devil's a spirit, so keep him in the spirit world. And you do that by reminding him of what Jesus did at Calvary. You do that by reminding him of your position in Jesus Christ. I wish that I could tell you, as a Christian, you would never have any problems. You would never have to fight any battles, but that's not true. If you read this book, praise God, it's battle after battle after battle, and God's people are winning victory after victory after victory. Hallelujah. See, when you face a battle, do you go with the word of God, or do you go to get help from people? See, I'm an accountant. I am. I can punch the figures into a calculator, and they make good sense. I could check with my financial advisor, and he could give me what he thinks. I could check with my CPA, and he might say, do it. But the Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. See, Satan wants to separate you from the word of God. There are times in my life when it looked like on paper, this is a great business deal. And I could have taken them, and it was a lot of money to be made. And I got a check in my spirit from the Holy Ghost. And I sold my business that I started so I could preach the gospel. I sold it in 1997 in January. I started it so I could preach the gospel. I said, God, I don't have time to go through that little program. I sold it, came to Westmoreland, and God handed me a church. I mean, a nobody out of nowhere with no credentials. I started in this church. I didn't even have a license. They sent me my license in the mail. I said, you made a mistake. You sent me my license. They said, oh, no, we didn't make a mistake. You've got to have a license to pastor that church. I said, does that mean I don't have to take the test? They said, no, you got to take the test. Amen. I was trying to get out of it. Hallelujah. But since then, I've gone back, and I've got my conference license. I've got an ordination. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. There's a whole lot more inside of you than you realize. But don't let the devil dethrone you. Amen. And certainly, don't let him disable you. Stay in the word of God. Get a grip on God's word, and you will come forth more than a conqueror. So Satan wants, number one, he wants to dethrone you. Number two, he wants to disarm you. The third thing that Satan wants to do is he wants to cut off your big toe, your great toe, to disable you. How many remember Muhammad Ali? Muhammad Ali, he was a great fighter, and he was great because he had great footwork. His footwork was amazing. He said he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. How many remember that? History records him as the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time. But he was great because he had great footwork. Without his big toe, though, he would have been disabled. He would not have been able to win in the ring. Amen. See, without the big toe, your balance is lost, footing is lost, and there's no sure foundation. How many of you remember Sugar Ray Leonard? He was the greatest middleweight. Amen. He would go running out to his opponent. He would start running toward him like that when they'd ring that bell. And what he was doing is he was saying, I like this. I like what I'm doing. And I'm fixing to come after you. And he was a great boxer. He had confidence. Amen. But if he had not had his thumbs and his toe, he would have been disabled. So listen to what I'm saying. Satan wants to move you from off your foundation in Christ Jesus. But as a Christian, We are of the household of God. Look at Ephesians 2 and 20. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And when the storms of life come, go back to your foundation, Jesus Christ, the solid rock. On this solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. I'll take my stand in Jesus. Send up some praise. Send up Judah and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So you've got to do it. I cannot do it for you. We had some great singing in here tonight. I mean, praise God. We were seated together in heavenly places in Christ. You know, years ago when I was a little boy in the church, the saints would get in there. And they would say, somebody say, we need to sing page 22. Somebody would say, you got another song? Yeah, we'll sing page 44, whatever the page. And everybody would get to singing. I was a little boy. And I remember those ladies, they had those Holy Ghost buns, and the floor didn't have the foundation I put in this place. I put another set of pillars down here and shortened the span so we could dance. I mean, this thing has double floors in it. I'm telling you, we can take whatever God sends in here. We can dance in this place. But that floor would get to sagging. It'd get going up and down like that. The ladies had bobby pins in their hair. They'd start flying out. How many remember that? Amen. I don't want to go back to that. I want to go on in this. Hallelujah. Thank God for the glory back then. But I don't intend to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday when I can live in the power and the anointing of God today. I'm going to send up some praise. I'm going to send up some glories. I'm going to send up some hallelujahs. I'm going to let him know that I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participator. It doesn't matter whether I preach. I love to preach. It doesn't matter whether I sing. I love to sing or make a joyful noise. But I'm going to get involved in what God is doing. And if you will get involved, and if you'll put your heart and your brain in gear and your mouth in gear, great things will begin to show up in your life. Send up some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, here's the worst part of this story I'm preaching from tonight. After Adonai Bezek dethroned these kings, after he just armed them, after he disabled them, then he debased them. He threw them in his prison underneath his dining table. And he made sport of them. And he laughed at them. And he ridiculed them. And he threw them a few crumbs from his dining table. And here's the sad part. Many of God's children today are under the devil's table. They are dethroned, they are disarmed, they are disabled, and they are bound by the cares of the world, eating crumbs when they are king's kids. They're the victims and not the victors. Many of God's people, they are weak, and they are slaves to habits and to addictions. They don't know that they are a king. They have lost their grip on the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and the devil has disabled them. Maybe you feel like you're in the devil's prison, dethroned, disarmed, disabled, and searching for a crumb, and hearing the devil jeer and sneer and laugh at you. I talk to many of God's people that feel just that way. So I know what I'm talking about. But I got some good news tonight. There is one who came out of the tribe of Judah. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has completely defeated your Adonai Bezek. He has cut his thumbs off. He has cut his big toes off. He disabled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. And he triumphed over them in it. He disabled the devil, and he brought him to naught. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, naught, 0. And you can look in the devil and tell him, Hey, Mr. Zero, how are you doing? He doesn't like for you to talk like that. Put Luke 10:19 up there, brother. I'm going to show you something. You just got to know who you are. And don't ever be afraid of the devil. I said, if I thought he was behind a door, I'd kick it down just to see if he was there. I learned something a long time. See, I'm a Marine. And I learned how to fight a battle. And when I got into this, I said, dear God, I read the whole book. We can't even lose. You can't lose with the stuff I use. And you can't go wrong with what I'm on. I promise you that. Look at Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power. That's King James. New King's authority. Exousia. To tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power, dunamis, of the enemy. The devil has power, but he does not have power over you. He does not have authority over you. You could bring him and say, come here, devil. Stand right there. Stand right there and don't you move. Now get all of your demons and line them up right behind you. And I want to tell you something, devil. I have authority over you through the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. And I have authority over all your demons in Jesus' name. The church has forgotten their position. And some people are praying, oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Jesus Christ came, cut a new covenant at Calvary, shed his precious blood, sent the Holy Ghost anointing. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. That church I'm going to, they're not a Pentecostal church. We had them come sing at one of our gatherings recently. 9 people I walked by, laid my hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. Sister Clara has brought people from those other churches to my office. They said, I want that Holy Ghost y'all got. And I go over there and talk to them, lay hands on them. She's my witness, amen. And God fills them with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, amen. So you need the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't need religion. You need God. You need all of God you can get. I need all of God I can get. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. God said, if you can get the people together, if you can get them in one accord, he said, I'll give you some suddenness. I'll show up and I'll show off and I'll do some great and mighty things in the church. Hallelujah. God is a God of power. Go on, praise him. He's a God of glory, and he wants his power to be in his body, the church. Jesus said, the works I do shall you do also. Greater works than these shall you do. And we got people arguing religion. Get rid of religion. Get a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He sent the Holy Ghost to the church. He said, I'm sending him to give the church power from on high. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot more on you. Go and praise him, then you realize. Send up some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have authority in Jesus' name, and you don't have to eat the devil's crumbs anymore. Amen. People say, is it necessary to speak in tongues? You better believe it. The gifts are like a chain. Let me find my chain. Glory to God. That chain has links in it. There are 12, 9 manifestation gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. They're revelational gifts. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. There are 3 power gifts, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. And then there are 3 inspirational gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And if you don't speak in tongues, guess what? You're missing a link. You are missing a link. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. We don't know how to pray sometimes as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been down so low that you didn't know how to pray and you were fighting a battle? See, God don't want you to fight this battle alone. He wants you full of the Holy Ghost. He wants me full. I just come out of camp meeting. I mean, I got filled up. Hallelujah. I went to the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. I went to all the meetings. I helped host the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock every evening. And then I've been back and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I tell you, get a relationship with God where you love to be in his presence. This is not a job to me. I'm not a hireling. I'm supposed to be retired. I'm 72 years young. But I just love to preach. I love to go to church. I'm like old David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord. You don't have to eat under the devil's table. Jesus Christ has spread a banquet table for you. And you can dine with the Master. Salvation is on that table. Deliverance is on that table. Healing is on that table. Prosperity is on that table. Solomon said he carried me down to his banquet room. And his banner over me was love. God loves you. And God has some great things for you. But you've got to have a big heart for God. Amen. You don't have to eat crumbs. God has a table for his people. There were 70 kings that were defeated by Adonai Bezek. I'm going to give you a nugget tonight. Now, in the New Testament, Luke tells us about one from the tribe of Judah named Jesus who turned the tables on the devil. Jesus did to Satan what Satan wants to do to us. Jesus did to the devil, Satan, what Adonai Bezek did to those kingdoms that he destroyed. Now listen with me. There were 70 tribes in the Old Testament. There were 70 in the New Testament too. We find the C70 in Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke 10:17. Jesus sends out 70 disciples and he says, I'm sending you forth in my power, with my anointing, with my glory. And look at Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Now, in the Old Testament, those 70, they lost their thrones. But in the New Testament, the 70, they came back victorious, and they saw their enemy run because of the name of Jesus. You see that? Jesus told these 7 disciples, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Why, that's no big deal. I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. You see, when Satan rose up and rebelled against God, that was no great battle. That was no great struggle. He rose up and God said, Phew. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you in my name, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here's what I want you to see. Luke 10:17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power, authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And look at this, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. The literal translation says it like this. For 1 hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He said, glory, 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 glory. They got it. They got it. They got it. They understand the power of my name. They are glory to God. And for 1 solid hour, Jesus rejoiced. Some people said, Jesus never danced. Well, he did dance there. They said, Jesus never shouted. He shouted there. Glory, glory, glory. People think I'm crazy when I do this. That's all right. I'm just sending up some praise. I'm sending up some glories. I'm sending up some hallelujahs. I'm sending up some thank you, Jesus, from my heart. I learned the power of praise a long time ago. Send up praise and get him in the battle, praise God, and quit complaining and quit being down. Hallelujah. Do what the psalmist said. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Jesus shouted, and he rejoiced, and he shouted for 1 hour. And when he comes for his bride, guess what? He's coming with a shout. See, Jesus gets excited about his church, and he wants us to get excited about him and the church. And he wants us to shout, and he wants us to praise him, and he wants us to send up our hallelujahs. Let us stand. Hallelujah is the highest note of praise. So just sing hallelujah and watch God work in your life. Hallelujah. Send up praise. Send praise into the battle and come forth more than a conqueror in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
When I saw the
fighting against devils. If there's anything that's tormenting you, God brought you here to deliver you. You don't have to go home like you came in Jesus' name. There's power in the blood. Power in the name. Glory to God. You will believe God in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. You can find your place in God.
I will praise Him.
I need to come to the altar. Come talk to your God. Send up some praise. Let him know, God, I'm in a battle, but I'm sending praise up. I'm going to get my victory because God has purposed victory for me. I'm to rule and reign in life by one Jesus Christ.